we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Every once in a while, it sneaks up on you. So I pray that good things sneak up on you today. One of the things I like to do to folks at church is I like to sneak up behind the men of the church and grab them by the shoulders and say, the blessing of God will overtake you, grab hold of you, and will not let you go. So I pray that the blessing of God overtakes you today, grabs hold of you, and will not let you go. So one of the things that could be a blessing to you, by the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and hosting the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM in Cocoa, Florida. 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening, WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. And if you need somebody to do some block or concrete work, I encourage you to give Jits Concrete a phone call. The phone number is 321-536-5804. That will get you in touch with Greg. And they have decades of experience in block and concrete work. They know all about the different strengths and what you need for this and how thick it needs to be and all of that sort of stuff, how to reinforce it. And they've done a great job for us at our property, and they will do a great job for you. I encourage you to give them a call. Today we are having our midweek service. 6 o'clock is when we start serving food to our kids. Classes start at 6:30. The adult worship service begins at 7 p.m. And so we encourage you to come and check us out. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you worship with us at that time. Sunday, we will be having Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Following that, we are going to be having a get-to-know the pastor and the church leadership at Merritt Assembly of God luncheon. If you're a newcomer to Merritt Assembly of God, you just like to meet us, and we'd like to meet you. We are serving comfort food today or that day, and we're going to be having some pot roast and some potatoes and carrots and rolls, and I'm sure we'll do something for dessert as well. It's just a opportunity for us to get to know you and find out a little bit more about one another. That is coming up this coming Sunday following our morning worship service. We'd love to see you there. So let's get into the Word of God today if we can. Yesterday we talked about the shepherd anointing our head with oil and our cup runs over, and then in Psalm 133, how important unity is. And so I pray that you and I, that because of that anointing that comes because of unity, and it is the place of commanded blessing, even life forevermore, that you will fight for that unity. You will fight for that unity at home. You will fight for that unity at work. You will fight for that unity at church. And you will not allow any of the stealth attacks of the enemy to come in and undermine that level of unity. The price tag is too expensive. When there is something that is going to cost me the commanded blessing of God, the price tag is too expensive. If there is something that is going to impede on my ability to experience life, vibrant life, abundant life forever and ever, I don't care what it is, the price tag is too expensive. And so temptation to violate your your marriage vows, that price tag is too expensive. Arrogance, the price tag is too expensive to demand that you be right all of the time. Because when you're right all of the time, you lose. You lose. If you are demanding that there is that you're the winner and someone else is the loser, then you have lost. The price tag is too expensive. Churches need to be places that are one in vision, one of one mind and one accord, because that is the place where there is the commanded blessing of the Lord and people are added and multiplied to the church on a daily basis. We need unity in the body of Christ. And so I just wanted to share those thoughts with you. I want to take you to today to Mark chapter 6. Again, we are talking about Isaiah chapter 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And so I want you to see that this anointing, and specifically yesterday we began talking about the anointing of healing. In Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7, it says, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, 'In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.' So they went out and preached that people should repent." And this is verse 13. Listen to this. "And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." And so I want you to see. Now, I don't understand the intricacies of the anointing of the head in the same manner that we talked about on yesterday's broadcast with the sheep. But I do know this, that when we are anointed as children of God for the purpose that God has for us, then the provision of God is going to be there. And so these were disciples who were sent out, and they were to bring healing. They were to, in essence, shepherd the people that they came in contact with. And I know that there's been some people that abuse that term here in Brevard County in the past. I'm not talking about that shepherding movement type thing that was done back in the 70s and 80s. That's not what I'm talking about, and so please don't interpret that. What I mean is they were to go out with the heart of a shepherd, and the heart of the shepherd, if you remember on yesterday's broadcast, that the sheep were supposed to be fit, they were supposed to be well, and they were supposed to be strong and healthy. And so that's what is going on. Jesus would look out upon the multitudes of people, and he would look upon them, and he would be moved with compassion for them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And he began to train his disciples, knowing that he was going to go to the cross, knowing that he was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He wanted the disciples to realize that the works that he had done, that they would do, and greater works than those also. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. And so these people went out, and this was the testimony, verse number 12. So they went out. Why did they go out? Because Jesus sent them out. They preached that people should repent. It's kind of interesting to me that in society now, we don't want to admit that we have any need of repentance. Repentance, in my understanding of the Word of God, repentance is the first blessing that God gives us, because it brings us an awareness that we are how to fellowship with God, and repentance allows us to be reconciled to God. And so I have no problem telling any person on the planet, God bless you. Now, I will not tell every person on the planet Godspeed. If they are on a mission that is contrary to the things of God, if their mission is anti-Christ, then I'm not going to wish them Godspeed them on their mission, but I will pray God bless them. And what I mean by that is this: God bless you with a heart of repentance, so that just as Saul was headed in the wrong direction and God brought him the gift of repentance and he turned to God and became a messenger for God, I pray that you and I will experience that same thing. On the day of Pentecost, the people that heard Peter preach said, "Brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter's response, "Repent and be baptized, and you and your entire household will be saved." Repentance is absolutely necessary. And when the kingdom of God is near, repentance is not a hard thing. Listen, if I have to force you to repent, then you haven't repented. But if there's a work that has gone on in your heart and it says, you know what, I've been headed in the wrong direction and I need to change course, then that's when the heart of repentance really begins to manifest itself. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Who should repent? I should repent. You should repent. Everybody needs to repent because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to be able to go to heaven because I'm a good person. Baloney. Without Jesus, you aren't good. Jesus said, good master. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And so you might be an enjoyable person. You might be a pleasurable person to be around, but good is not the same as pleasurable or enjoyable or sociable. Good is a condition of moral uprightness, and that can only come from God restoring us from being inclined towards evil to a place of uprightness. Repentance is absolutely necessary. And so along with their preaching, there were signs and there were wonders. There was demonstrations that the authority of God was greater than the power of demons and the power of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he came to destroy the devil. And so I'm thankful that all authority in heaven on earth has been given to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, you and I are commanded to go into all the world and preach the good news and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So being a good person means that you have asked Jesus to come and restore your heart from its fallen nature to a forgiven nature, and you realize that the only way that you can ever be good is because God lives inside of you. So there's the power over the demons. And it said, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Okay. Now you might think, well, all of that stuff died off with the apostles. And that is one prevailing theory, but it's not the only theory. And that you can find another reference in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse number 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And so it's very clear that this admonition was not just for the church that James was writing to, but to the church at large, because I have yet to be in a church that did not have someone who was suffering, that did not have someone who could sing. I've not been to a church yet that there wasn't someone that at some point in time did not need healing, and that there wasn't someone that needed to be forgiven of their sins. I haven't found a church yet that there wasn't someone who had a longing and a desire to pray effectual and fervent prayers. And so I want you to know that if there's sickness in the body of Christ, we need to do what James admonishes us here, what the disciples did in Mark chapter 6, and that is call for the elders of the church, let them pray over you, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, pray the prayer of faith, and let's believe the Lord to raise them up and to bring healing to their body. A lot of people take this to an extreme and say, well, I'm not going to a doctor. And, I encourage you not to adopt that mindset. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for physicians. I've got several really good ones. I'm thankful for the ophthalmologist that God used to restore my vision. I'm thankful for my orthopedic surgeon who listens to this broadcast, and I have full range of motion and full mobility in my shoulder because of him. I'm thankful for him, but I am also thankful that where the abilities of man end, God's abilities are still continuing. And by the way, before that surgeon operated on my shoulder, I was praying. I was praying the prayer of faith. And there were some things that showed up on the report that I believe were testimonies that God had been at work. And there are also testimonies that the surgeon was able to bring about as well. So I'm very thankful for that. But I can tell you that here recently at church, I had this was on Palm Sunday. I had had 2 days in a row where I was having deep stabbing pains in the back of my shoulders. Like right underneath the shoulder blade, it hurt pretty badly. And I would sat in the massage chair and allowed that to work it out and all of that sort of stuff. And the pain wasn't constant, but it was still a nuisance. And Sunday morning when I showed up at church, this had been going on since Friday. I had exerted myself, use some muscles that I hadn't used for that particular ability. It's not that I'm stationary. I don't sit all the time. I had done some heavy lifting the week before, but used different muscles. And on this particular Friday, I was out doing yard work, edging, mowing, and all of that sort of stuff, and just aggravated a muscle. And so I showed up to church, and it wasn't as intense as the pain wasn't as intense as it had been before. But one of our deacons, I mentioned to him the pain that I was in, and he put his hand on my back and his hand went right to the spot where the pain was originating from. And he prayed the prayer of faith over me, and I didn't see stars fly across the sky. I didn't feel intense heat or anything like that. In fact, I didn't notice, I couldn't tell you exactly at what point in time the pain went away. But as I was preaching that morning, I was preaching and I noticed that the pain was gone. And I hadn't taken any painkillers or anything like that. The only thing that had been different was that this man had prayed the prayer of faith. And so I prayed that faith for healing, and that there would be an anointing for healing that would come to our churches once again, because people are sick. You know, I don't know if you've ever been sick and tired of being sick and tired, but when you're there, you want healing. And so I thank God that you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And when we're leadership in the church, we should be able to anoint people with oil and pray for them and watch them raised up. I want to take you one last verse today to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. This is right in the middle of, it's at the end of where Jesus is correcting the seven churches. And so let me begin reading at verse number 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. One of the problems that this church had was a misperception of reality. They thought they were in one condition, and in actuality, they were in another condition. They thought that they were rich, and Jesus declared to them that they were bankrupt. They thought that they didn't have any need of anything, and they did not realize that they were wretched and naked, and that they needed covering. They thought that they had clarity of vision, and Jesus told them that they were blind, and they thought that they were in fellowship, and Jesus was saying, you don't realize you've shut the door to me. And so I want to attack these in reverse order if I can, because the greatest thing that we need is to avail ourselves of the presence of Jesus Christ. We need to open the door and let him in to our life. We need to let him in to our church. We need to let him into our home. We need to let him into our business. We need to let him into our finances. We need to let him into our thought life. We need to let him in to our physical well-being. Let Jesus have access to every area of your life. He's standing at the door knocking, and he's saying, Will you open the door or will you keep it shut? I want to tell you that as a church, there is no substitute for the presence of God. None. And when Jesus comes in, he has the solution to every problem that we face. He said, you say that you are rich, but in verse number 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. He's describing that there's a transaction that is going to take place. There is going to be some, real wealth. Jesus described, if you are not faithful in ungodly mammon, then who will entrust to you real wealth? If you've not been faithful with that which is another man's, who is going to entrust you with something of your own? You and I, we need the provision that comes from the presence of God, and we need to have that spiritual transaction where we are trading that which is fading for that which will never diminish. He says, you need covering in your life. You need to buy from me garments that you may be clothed in, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And I tell you, I'm so thankful for the covering in my life. I'm thankful, first of all, I'm thankful for clothes. Okay, let's just get that out there. I'm thankful for clothing. The other thing is, I am thankful for those in spiritual leadership over me, that they provide covering for me. They are there to guide me. They are there to provide me the counsel that I need. They are wiser than I am. He goes on and he says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. The anointing of God will reveal things to us that we may have never seen before. Maybe we need to see the fact that we are uncovered and we have things to be ashamed of rather than things to be boasting about. Okay, I'm not saying that's the case, but if it is, I want to know the reality of the situation, not to see what I hope I can see. And so today I pray that God will give you clarity of vision and that you and I will be used as his ambassadors to go throughout this community. And that we can see people raised up, healthy and whole, fit, well, and strong in this community. Father, I just pray for every believer right now. Lord, I pray that we would have an accurate understanding of where we are. And Lord, that you would be able to use us to go throughout this community and pray and present the gospel to those who are in desperate need of it. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.